Hello and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am your host, Lyle Perez.
And I am your other host, Lasse Vogt.
Hey Lasse, how's it going?
Oh, I'm going wonderfully. A little tired, but okay.
Cool. Yep, so am I. I mean, my wife's been gone for the week, and I have been taking care of our son. He is a handful, and I've been taking care of all of the animals that we have, the dogs, the cats, and all that stuff, and they keep me up at night. They keep barking. There's something wrong with them this week.
Yeah, what can you do? Sometimes it happens.
Yep, can't do anything. But we're not here to talk about that. We are talking about 90s Christmas stuff. And in this episode, we are going to talk about the Family Matters sitcom Christmas episode from there. I believe it is season 2, episode 13. Have yourself a Merry Winslow Christmas.
Ah, the puns. The lovely puns.
The lovely puns in titles.
They do it a lot, right? With sitcom, like we had so many pun titles lately.
They do, but with sitcoms, I mean, it has to be. That's what a sitcom is. It's supposed to try to be funny, and putting a pun inside these things, it works.
Yes, it totally does. You know, a lot of people don't like puns, but my mentality with them is, you know, puns are kind of like supposed to be terrible and stupid. That's the point. You know, it's the point of how do you deliver it.
Yeah, that's always fun. But this episode originally aired on December 21st, 1990.
Oh, God.
I don't remember. Were you alive at this point?
No. It's 2 years older than me.
You weren't even alive yet. So Family Matters. Yeah, I remember watching Family Matters all the time as a kid. You didn't watch it much, did you?
This was actually the first episode I ever saw of it in its entirety.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's not like this show doesn't exist in Germany. It does. It first aired in Germany 1995 on the channel ProSieben, where today also sitcoms like Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men are shown. So I could have watched it, but I really can't remember that I did, and I don't really know why. I've seen bits here and there. Of course, you know these famous characters, especially Steve Urkel. You know, you just know him. And I watched like a synopsis of a Halloween special they did, which Adam from the YouTube channel YMS, your movie SUCKS. He did like a rundown of a Halloween special and why it scared him as a kid, and that was the most I ever watched of this show. I know about the show, I know about the themes, I know about the characters, and I know who the actors are, but actually, and I'm really ashamed to say this, I never got around to actually really watch it, because it looks like a show that I would really enjoy. You know, it's funny. It has family themes. It has everything I like about a good sitcom. I just never got around to it.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is all of the shows have been recorded. They're all waiting for you to be watched.
Yes. As soon as you said we would do an episode of Family Matters, I was like, what? What is Family Matters? And then you said like Steve Urkel, and I was like, oh, that, because I actually, in my head, I confused it with I meshed these two shows together, Family Matters and Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah, I guess they can be a little bit similar, but not really.
No, really. And I kind of like,
they're about
like the Chris character. I kind of messed her. I kind of like mistook him for the Steve Urkel character. I don't know why, because I actually remember watching Everybody Hates Chris sometimes.
Oh, Everybody Hates Chris is one that we're going to have to do. Oh, we can't do it because it's not the 90s.
No.
Maybe we can do it as like a special bonus or something.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, the show existed, you know, Family Matters existed. In Germany, it's actually known under the title Alle unter einem Dach, which translates to All Under One Roof.
Why wouldn't they just keep it as Family Matters?
Because as a German, you know, it's not like I don't know. It doesn't.
Are you saying that families don't matter in Germany?
No, totally. But it's not. It's not a title that for the typical German who doesn't speak much English in his free time, that would really say something to him. You know, family matters. You know, they would probably think, oh, it's a family called Matters.
How would you say that in German?
Family matters. Familie bedeutet etwas. Kind of like family means something.
Okay, gotcha.
But I guess the title is too kind of like, you know, too long. And so, I mean, alle unter einem Dach. I mean, it fits in all under one roof. Kind of, especially, you know, when you consider that Steve Urkel at some point moves in with them. So you actually have all the important characters under one roof.
Yeah, mostly. But yeah, for those that have never seen Family Matters, kind of like Lasso over here, Family Matters ran from September 22nd, 1989 to July 10th, 1998. They had 9 seasons. It originally aired on the ABC network, and then for the last season, I believe it moved to CBS. Why? I do not know. It was a spinoff from another sitcom called Perfect Strangers, who I loved this one as a kid. I loved Perfect Strangers. I remember watching it all the time. Have you ever seen Perfect Strangers?
Sadly, no. That one I actually know even less about than Family Matters.
Well, it's going to be even worse because it doesn't qualify for this Christmas podcast, any other Christmas episode. So we'll probably never see Perfect Strangers unless we do like special bonus episodes for like a Patreon or something later on down the road. Then maybe we'll watch them.
Whew, dodged that bullet, at least for this time.
It's a good show. You'll like it.
Oh yeah, I believe that. But you know, more new shows, it means more research for me, because I did a lot of research for this particular episode. You know, watched some other stuff, watched some clips, watched some stuff of a pilot and everything. So and I you know, it's not like, oh, this show was totally new to me. You know, I knew some of it, but this was actually like the first complete episode I ever watched. Sadly, I'm so sorry. I know it's a it has a big cultural impact and it's such an important show. But yeah, sometimes, you know, I mean, some people still haven't seen stuff like The Godfather or Lord of the Rings, so I guess it's kind of excusable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's in this, the idea of this podcast is we're going to look at every single 90s Christmas-themed sitcom and or movie. There's a lot of movies in the 90s that are Christmas-related that I've never seen, and we have them all on our list already, and there's some that I'm like, okay, I've never seen that, and you'll be surprised, but I've never seen any of the Harry Potter movies, and that's one of the that's one of them in our list, and I've never seen it before, so when we get to it, it's going to be a huge jump for me, because I'm not really into that type of stuff anymore, so we'll see what it's like when we get there.
Okay, now I'm relieved, actually. Thank you so much.
Yeah, see, that's the point, because I haven't seen every single sitcom from the 90s. I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of the main ones, but in doing the research for this one, I came across a sitcom called Major Dad. I've heard of it. I've never seen any of the episodes. Luckily, it's on Hulu, so I watched the Christmas episodes. I didn't know what was going on, who these characters were, but I actually understood what was happening in that episode. So you don't necessarily have to know the sitcom in order to enjoy the Christmas episodes.
That's the power of good writing, I guess.
Yeah, and I also watched the Halloween ones, just to throw them out there. Yeah. Okay, so back to Family Matters. Family Matters, the show was about a middle-class African-American family who lived in Chicago. When we think of Family Matters, we, of course, think of Steve Urkel. That's how I got you to know that this was Family Matters, because of Steve mm-hmm. Urkel. But the original premise, it didn't have Steve Urkel as a character. It was just supposed to be about the Winslow family. But midway through the first season, they did an episode where Laura, who's the daughter, she was trying to find a date for the dance, or a dance, and Carl hooks her up with the geeky neighbor Steve, and the rest is history.
Yeah, sometimes it happens, you know, like a minor character overtakes either like a series or even like certain movies. You know, remember what was it? The Hangover. You know, with a Chow, played by. Who was it? Ken Jeong. You know, he was a bit character in the first one, and then they expanded upon his role in the second one, and then the third one he was practically the main character.
Yeah, they'll do that. They'll find the character that everyone clicks with, and then they'll just spin that person off into something else.
Yeah, sometimes for the worst, like the Hangover movies, and sometimes for the better, because Steve Urkel is a really entertaining character.
He is. He is a lot of fun, as long as you don't know him personally.
Yeah, because it's either like, I mean, a lot of people could relate to the show because either they had one of these friends or they were that friend.
Yeah, that's now that you say it like that, I don't know anybody who is just like Steve Urkel. So I guess that means I am the Steve Urkel of my friends.
I guess I am as well. So, yay.
Cool. Oh, wait a minute. You just saved me. You just saved me. Now you're the Steve Urkel of my friends.
Ah, thank God. So I guess this is officially the 90s Christmas Night podcast.
Awesome. All right. So let's run down some of these characters. So the people that have never seen Family Matters, which if you haven't, go watch a couple of episodes. It's a lot of fun. And you can watch this Christmas episode because they're all on Hulu. So go to Hulu, Family Matters. You'll find them all. Watch them. So we have the dad, who is Carl Winslow, the mother, who's Harriet Winslow, the son, Eddie, daughter, Laura, the youngest daughter, Judy, grandmother, who is Estelle or Mother Winslow, Harriet's sister, Rachel, her son, Little Richie, and we all know the geeky neighbor, Steve Urkel. That's pretty much the main cast.
Yes, indeed. It's actually a pretty big cast. I was kind of like... You know, when I was reading about the show and watching some of the episodes, I was like, oh God, it's such a big family. You know, it's hard to keep track on certain things. It's not like, you know, something like King of Queens where you have like three people living in this house. And so like, oh, okay, and these are their friends, you know, and this is Doug, this is Carrie, this is Arthur. So that's pretty easy. But here you have like 7, 8, 9 characters under one roof. So it's sometimes, you know, it's a little hard for a newbie to keep track of certain things, because I was sometimes like, this daughter, and she's his mother, okay, and yeah.
Yeah, it could get a little daunting because there is, but you have to keep in mind it's supposed to be a family, so they wanted to cover all aspects of a family. They got the grandmother, they got... The Harriet's sister, Rachel, she was on there. The aunt of the kids. They got the kids. They got the geeky neighbor. It's very similar to Full House.
Oh, God. Sorry. Don't like Full House.
Okay, then.
We will get to that.
We probably won't get to it until sometime next year because the list is already made. And I don't think Full House made the bill because they didn't. I don't like their Christmas episodes.
I don't like the show, period.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're still going to have to cover it at one point.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes you have to bite in a sour apple.
Who knows? Maybe we'll do it for our next episode, just to get it in there.
You are so mean.
No, because I have some really good ones coming up in the next couple of weeks, so I'm not going to change any of those out for Full House.
Ah, thank you. My evening is saved. My life is saved, at least for this year.
So yeah, Family Matters had 215 episodes with 9 seasons, and 7 of them were Christmas episodes.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, so let's move to the quick synopsis. Let's see, for this episode, do you want to read it or do you want me to do it?
I think... I can do it.
Go ahead. I've done most of the talking already.
Sure. The quick synopsis is Steve is all alone for Christmas, his family having left him behind, and the Winslows shunning him after he breaks Laura's old-fashioned Christmas ornament. The nerd has also promised Richie that Santa will deliver him the season's hottest toy, Freddy Teddy, a storytelling teddy bear that Carl seems to have a little trouble securing. Eventually, Laura apologizes to Steve after she finds him feeling sad and alone in his basement on Christmas Eve. She also invites him to spend Christmas with her and her family, and Steve accepts. Soon the Winslows learn there's nothing wrong with Steve still believing in Santa, especially when they discover his letter with which he asks Santa to let him spend Christmas with Winslows, and Richie is happy with his present.
Well said.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's the quick synopsis of the show that we watched, and we're going to give you a full one run through right after we share a couple of Christmas commercials.
See you then.
Yeah, we'll be back.
'Twas a bit before Christmas, and all through the house, nothing was stirring, not even a... I ran to the kitchen, what could it be? Christmas crunch from McCaffin to me!
This crunch is special to make breakfast merry. It's loaded with yummy red and green crunch berries.
Very sweet.
Delicious.
But it's only here till Christmas. Christmas crunch is a merry part of this balanced breakfast.
Now Cap'n Crunch has every kid on his Christmas list.
Wow.
One secret present on each box of Christmas crunch from the Cap'n to you.
Merry Christmas!
Holidays from Energizer.
And welcome back. Hope you guys enjoyed those retro Christmas commercials.
I certainly did.
So we're going to give you the full run through of this episode.
As we always do, dear listeners, just for you. Because you are too lazy to watch it yourself. I'm kidding.
Yeah, our listenership went from 1 to 0. All right, so the opening scene, the whole family is in the living room putting up Christmas decorations. Laura is singing Winter Wonderland, I think that's the one she's singing. And Harriet sees that she's like in the Christmas spirit. And Laura says that she's happy the entire Urkel family is on vacation for 2 whole weeks. And the whole family gives like a nice sigh of relief. They go, ah. And then they all start singing, all cheerful. And then in walks Steve Urkel, and he's wearing a mistletoe above his head, which that's like the classic Christmas gag right there.
Yeah, his mistletoe contraption is both clever and creepy.
Yeah, and as soon as he walks in, the cheerful sing that everyone does just goes like this. It's like they got deflated.
It's so funny. It's so funny how the mood immediately changes.
Urkel.
So yeah, after that, we see the opening credits. Wonderfully cheesy 90s opening credits where the people smile at the camera.
Breaking that fourth wall.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of sitcoms did that. And it's always, I don't know, I always like it. It has a certain charm, especially here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it's always, you know, not having seen the show before, really, in the opening credits, going from the Chicago skyline immediately to the house was a little jarring.
It's like they live at the skyline.
You know, yeah, because you see, like, the skyline, and then immediately it transitions to the kind of, like, suburb house, and where I was like, wait a minute, that's not... this is not one of the houses we've seen before.
Oh yeah, totally.
So Laura asks Steve what he's doing here, and Steve says his family left without him. Oh, how sad is that? If his parents decided to use this time to renew their vows. And Eddie asks, like, what, a second honeymoon? And then Steve is, no, we're renewing their vows, not have any more children.
The parents are so terrible. Like, throughout the entire run of the show, like, the parents are monsters.
Do we ever see the parents?
You never see them, but at one point you hear, like, the mom's voice, because he's in his basement and he calls out to his mom or something, and his mom replies. That's like the closest you get to seeing the parents.
Okay, it's one of those. I get it. Okay, so of course Urkel brings up the fact he's wearing a mistletoe to grab a kiss from Laura. And he puckers up, and she puts a candy cane on his lips. Classic.
That classic move. I mean, he's all sitting there puckered up, and she just puts the candy cane right on his, right underneath his nose.
Yeah.
So we move on to the next scene, and Mother Winslow, she's like making pies in the kitchen, having a good time. Rachel comes in, and Carl is sitting at the dining room table, just sitting there, and Rachel comes and sits down next to him, and she's really sad because she can't find this toy that little Richie wants for Christmas. She really wants it and she can't find it. Like, it's kind of like that Tickle Me Elmo that happened in like 96 or 95, whatever it was. It was like that. But the doll is called Freddy Teddy, and it's pretty much a Teddy Ruxpin ripoff. That's what it looked like to me. If you don't know what Teddy Ruxpin is, it's a talking bear just like this Freddy Teddy doll. Same thing, different. Yeah,
only much creepier.
Yeah, it looked creepy. So she wants help finding one, and she's trying to talk to Carl because Carl might know what to do. And of course, Carl being a police officer, he knows that he has a police supply officer that he can call, and he does to try to find this Freddy Teddy doll.
Yeah, I actually imagined that after trying to find the Freddy Teddy doll, he actually ran straight to the set of Die Hard. Yeah, because for the people who know, because that's where I knew the actor from, Reginald Val Johnson. He plays Powell in Die Hard 1 and 2.
Yeah, he does, but it was before this.
Yeah, I know, of course, but it's always funny because he still is a police officer, and so it's funny to kind of pretend that it might be the same character.
Yeah, he does play police officers a lot. This isn't those two aren't the only two times he plays a police officer. He played one in a Girl Meets World episode. He played a police officer there, and he played it in a couple of other places. And I remember listening to an interview with him, and he said something like, people just see him and think police officer. That's why they keep casting him as a police officer.
Yeah, weird typecasting. But, you know, if you played a police officer in one of the most, in one of the biggest landmark action films, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, yeah, this episode, I guess we get more into this whole toy thing that was going on at the time later. But what I noticed in this scene is, sure, it's a sitcom, and therefore the acting is a little bit more exaggerated than any other format, but this family especially seems just so genuine in their interactions and love and care for each other. I mean, you really feel it. It doesn't feel very staged or rehearsed or anything. It really seems like you get a glimpse in their family life, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it seems like these actors genuinely cared for one another.
Yeah, so that's always nice. If you feel the connection, if you feel the chemistry. And I mean, you have that in some movies and in some sitcoms, but especially with a cast this big, it's easy to get lost sometimes, you know, kind of getting lost in the shuffle. But here you totally feel it, especially with it being a Christmas episode. It's really well done.
Oh yeah, it really is.
The next scene, the kids are decorating the Christmas tree. Laura finds the ornament her other grandma gave her, and she puts it on the tree, while Steve idolizes their decorations. And little Richie tells Steve he asked Santa for a Freddy Teddy. And Steve asks if he'd been a good boy. He replies he had a good August.
August, which Steve is my birthday month?
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, nice.
That's great. So Steve says Santa will bring him Ron. And Eddie tells Steve he should have said that because they know Rachel can't find one. And Steve says he shouldn't have to because it's Santa's job. And they are amazed that he still believes in Santa and ask if Steve's never heard that he's not real.
Yeah, and this was my favorite part of the entire episode was when Steve says that he's heard rumors, but he tries to ignore vicious gossip. And then he goes up to Eddie and says, there's also an ugly rumor going around that I'm a nerd.
I loved that so much. It was so funny.
That line kills it. I've seen this episode, no joke, probably a good 50 times. And that line always gets me. I think it's Jaleel White's delivery when he says it, because he's like, some people say that I'm a nerd.
He just nails this performance, and which had to be pretty difficult for him to pull off when he was younger, you know? But he's going for it. Mad props for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think anyone could have done this role better.
Yeah, it's you know, talk about, like, lucky casting. Like finding a really young actor who can pull this off so well. It's, you know, I think it has to be difficult for a young actor like this, you know, to play this and immediately kind of like catching on to people, and then they, you know, they just hype this character so much, and he did it so well. It's really amazing.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as the Christmas ornament was introduced, I was like, well, that thing is broken.
Yeah, if you know the show, obviously you saw it coming.
Yeah, but even if you don't know the show, it's almost like when a police officer says, and I'm just 2 days away from retirement.
And then, yep, that's the end of it.
Oh, no. Continuing, they try to tell him there is no Santa, but he does not want to hear it. Steve says that he write what he wants for Christmas in a letter and sent it to them, and on Christmas they will open it to see if Santa gave him what he wanted. There's a line I really liked where he says, where they say, like, you know, Santa is not real. How can he visit every child in one night in the world? And he's like, it's a miracle. You don't analyze miracles. You just believe in them. It's a wonderful message.
It is.
They try to rush him out, and he knocks the Christmas tree over, and he breaks Laura's ornament, the classic, did I do that?
Yeah.
She tells him to never come back, and he is really, really sad about it. He's like, so that will be my Christmas gift for you. Merry Christmas, Laura. And then you can see that Laura feels sad.
Yeah, he did that on purpose to make her feel bad, which, if you've seen some of the other Christmas episodes, this isn't the first time that this same exact type of scene happens. It actually happens in their next Christmas episode, which we'll get to eventually.
Oh no.
It's the same thing. He breaks something of Laura's, and Laura says that she never wants to see him again.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, there's only so many things you can do. But next scene, Carl, he's in line at like this really small toy store, and he's second in line. There's another person in front of him. The worker, who's like the clerk, he asks who's there for a Freddy Teddy, because there's this huge line behind him. And of course, everyone's like, yeah, me, I'm here for a Freddy Teddy. And then he goes, okay, well, that means that the price just went up to $90, which makes me think, what was the price of a Freddy Teddy already? If 90 bucks is what it is, I'm thinking maybe it was like, because people went into an uproar. So I'm assuming it might have been like $50, $49.99, yeah. And then it went up to 90, and everyone's like, whoa, man.
I made the exact same guess.
Yeah, so he does something that's totally dated. The clerk, the lady hands him a credit card, and he says, sorry, ma'am, I'm going to have to call this in. Like, who does that now?
Yeah, but I was like, wait, did she ask for a certain thing, and he has to call it in from the, like, from a storage? Like, I actually didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, if you don't pay with your card, if you try to pay with money, the clerk looks at you weird. It's like the other way around now.
Kind of, you know, I still try to pay in cash as often as I can, because it's just easier. But yeah, I mean, you use your card very, very often. In Germany, it's still, you know, they still prefer cash, but it's no problem to pay with your credit card normally. But still, you know, cash is preferred over here.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it depends.
Yeah. Well, Carl's in line, and this nice old lady behind him, he starts asking Carl a bunch of questions about, hey, how long have you been here? You know, the things that we do for our kids, ha ha ha. And he just, like, doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to be friendly at all. Apparently, he's been waiting in line for 3 hours, and he drove 50 miles to get there. So I'm assuming he's been out here for about 4 hours now, roughly.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's I used to do Black Friday. You know what Black Friday is, right?
Yeah, I okay. do. And luckily, we don't have stuff like this over here.
Yeah, we used to. Go ahead.
Because it just looks like a nightmare. It's like, you know, because that's always like, and we will talk about this in another episode. But there was this thing going on in America with with a certain piece of crap toy that everybody needed to have, and then you see every year, people just, you know. Fighting on the floor about like a flat screen TV, and I'm like, please show a little dignity, people.
Well, the weird thing is, we used to do Black Friday all the time, me and my wife, and we stopped doing it because now it's no longer Black Friday, it's like Black Thursday. Everything starts at like 7 p.m. on Thursday instead of Friday, so we don't even bother with it. We just do the Thanksgiving thing, and we just don't do it. And I've never seen any craziness out of like the 10 years that we did it, or however long it was. I never saw anything. Everyone's always polite, and, you know, yeah, you have to wait in line, but I mean, everyone's friendly. You talk to the people in front of you, talk to people behind you, go to the coffee store that's open across the way, get some coffee, and just, you know, it's fun. And I would see it on the news, like, yeah, you know, Black Friday, this it happened here, it happened there. And I'm like, yeah, that's like two places out of the hundreds of thousands of other stores that were open during Black Friday. Only about four of them had an incident. So, don't highlight those four, because then people are going to think that it's all like that, when in reality, it's not.
Yeah, because I've also heard about, like, hey, they can be quite nice and friendly and totally laid back. But yeah, they always show these wars going on, you know, in the aisles. And I'm like, I can just see the network people and the politicians rubbing their hands together like, ah, look at these stupid monkeys.
Okay, that was kind of mean, so... So let's continue with the wonderful 90s Christmas show. So Carl is still in line. He's up next. The guy, I guess, finally got a hold of the credit card company, and they you know, put it through. So he's next in line, and he goes up to the front, and then everyone behind him just comes crushing in front of him.
It was a great slapstick moment.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'm here for Freddy Teddy. And the guy, the clerk's all like, yeah, sorry, folks, it's the last one. And I'm thinking in my head, like, looking at that huge line in front of you, dude, wouldn't you say, like, hey, we only have two left, so the rest of you guys got to get out of here. Like, he didn't do that. He just went on, like, regular. There's only two left. And then he tells Carl, yeah, sorry, guys. You know, this is the last one. It's going to this guy. And, like, I don't understand what this clerk's problem was. Like, he just wanted to be a jerk, I guess.
Yeah, because you can, I think at the beginning of the scene, you can see him put the two teddies, on the... you can see him put them up, you know, yeah. Just as he got him out of storage. So it's like he really knew. It's not like he was looking back at it after a long time and then realized, oh, there's only two left. He knew this from the very beginning.
Yeah, he did. Like, that's what I don't understand about this scene. This is the only major scene in this episode that really bugs me. Was that clerk, because, like, honestly, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just say, when you're making the announcement of it being $90, why couldn't you say, hey, sorry guys, we only got two left, could the rest of you guys, like, start exiting out of the store, because I'm pretty sure it's a fire hazard having a huge line in such a small store. But I guess, I mean, a minimum wage worker, I guess he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's almost like a perfect guy in a Robin Hood man in tights. For the rest of you gentlemen, can bugger off.
Yeah, he should have done that, but he didn't. Carl gets the last Freddy Teddy, and the place just goes wild. Everyone's saying that they cut it in line. They're all trying to get this Freddy Teddy. They pull it out of the box. They start. They jump Carl at one point, and Carl starts radioing for help. He needs backup. And they all just jump on him, and he tries to escape with the Freddy Teddy, but then he gets dragged right back into the mob. And I'm looking at the store clerk because he really bugs me in this episode, and he puts on like a football helmet, and he's looking at the crowd. Classic moment.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Well, he's in the corner cowering while everyone's going crazy, and he puts on a helmet, and he's sitting there with his head down, making sure he doesn't get hit.
And they actually tear the teddy apart.
Yeah, the limbs are flying everywhere, and you know, that's how you know Carl couldn't get that Freddy teddy.
It's like a scene from Day of the Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Choke on him! Choke on him!
Oh, classic. But go ahead. Next scene.
Never thought that I would bring up this line in a Christmas episode, but okay.
Hey, anything is possible.
Especially around Christmas time. It's the time of miracles, dear listeners. So, the Winslow home is all decorated, and Harriet is putting the last touches on the tree. Laura comes in with a few bags of gifts. Apparently, the Maltz are crazy, and she can't find good gifts. Where I'm like, you know, you should have known that. When Christmas is just around the corner, why don't they plan these things better? But whatever. She's sorry that she yelled at Steve, and they talk for a bit, and Harriet talks Laura into apologizing, and she goes off to see Steve, and there's a funny bit where she actually impersonates Steve. I think the day he was born, his first line was, "Did I do that?" And she actually does a really good impression.
Oh, yeah. In one of the Christmas episodes that we're going to see, she actually turns into Steve Urkel.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Man, she did a good job, too.
Great.
So the next scene, Steve is in his basement. He is all alone, being sad. And he's not with his Uncle Cecil, because later on, earlier in the scene, he was saying that he was going to spend time with his Uncle Cecil because his parents left him. And Cecil's not anywhere around, apparently. He went out caroling, and all he had on was his stocking cap. So this Cecil is a pervert. So he's singing alone, and he's decorating like this little desk Christmas tree. He puts an ornament on it, and it tips over. And it breaks. And, you know, he's just looking sad and pitiful. He decides to count his Christmas cards. And he goes, "I'm going to count my Christmas cards. One." And then that's it. There's only
now
one Christmas
card. Now I'm
going to read it. Yeah, now I'm going to read it. And it's apparently from the Allergies Institute. And it's just like this, kind of the same thing that you get from your dentist's office and stuff. Like the ones you get in the mail. No personalized note. No anything. Just that. And apparently he likes it. So the microwave dings and his Christmas dinner is ready. And it looked like one of those TV dinners. But the steak on that TV dinner was huge. He sticks his fork in it and he lifts it up. And I was like looking at that thing going, man, that is like a 2-inch thick steak.
Yeah. It looked not very good either.
Not good at all. So Laura comes, she comes in, and he gets all excited. He's like, "Oh, wait." And he puts on his little robe and he tries to look all nice, presentable. And she comes in, she starts apologizing, and she invites him to come over to Christmas to stay with them and to stay overnight too, because he's all alone. And he basically almost faints. Like he's sitting there going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh," and he can't get over Laura inviting him over. And finally he falls on like some pillows, and then he does his catchphrase, "I've fallen and I can't get up."
Yeah, I think that's such a like 80s and 90s thing, because it wasn't that also like part of of an infomercial where the old woman fell down next to the bathtub and she's like, "I've fallen and I can't get up."
It was from Life Alert.
It was also in, exactly. And it was also in the third Turtles movie. Like one of the Turtles like just fell over, and then he says to April, "Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up."
Yeah, you know what's actually funny about that? It's that line in that Life Alert commercial still happens to this day. I saw it probably like 2 weeks ago. I saw it on the TV.
Yeah, the guys from the YouTube channel Red Letter Media, they reference that sometimes. Like they at one point they make Darth Vader, a Darth Vader doll fall over in his big black armor, and then it's like in the Darth Vader voice, "I'll fall and I can't get up."
Yeah, Darth Vader looks like somebody who falls that wouldn't be able to get back up.
Yeah, and also, you know, being a newbie to this show, I was kind of confused because does Steve live in that basement or is the basement the entire flat?
No, the basement is just the basement. That's where his lab is. He does a lot of his experiments there.
Ah, okay. I get it. Because I was just wondering that. And also, I have to mention, Steve obsessing over Laura might have been more charming in the 80s and 90s. Nowadays, it has aged a little poorly, especially with him being a nerd and everything.
Yeah, a little bit. I was thinking about that too, about how his constant advancements to her at the time, it seemed very harmless, very friendly. But nowadays, you would be like, oh, stalker status from the girl. Like, you can't really do that anymore.
Yeah, especially, oh, my beautiful Christmas cookie. I'm like, okay, this is like, you know, this is worth at least 2 strikes.
Calling her all these pet names all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like actually pretend, kind of like pretending that he already is her boyfriend. But, you know, it was a different time, and him being kind of like this this innocent, you know? I mean, how they establish that he still believes in Santa and stuff. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course.
Right.
Because we all do believe in Santa still on this show. And so it's, I mean, it fits, and it's not that creepy. Nowadays, if a show came out today and it had, like, a different feel, it would be creepy.
Yeah, it would be creepy, but I mean, it was the 90s, and the 90s were a magical time, people.
Yeah, the 90s were clean.
Yeah, so the next scene.
The next morning, Steve is asleep on the Winslow couch, and he starts jumping and yelling that Santa came. Oh, God.
Yeah, like, if you're a guest in somebody's house, why would you wake up so early and start jumping and screaming? Oh, he's annoying, so I guess that fits his character.
It's Steve Urkel, yes. And, you know, in Germany, we don't have that. We open our presents on Christmas Eve, you know, 24th. So, and we don't wake up in, you know, at the crack of the morning the next day. I guess that actually really, I guess our parents really like that. And also the kids, because we don't have to wait another night. So I guess we have it better in that case, like in terms of that, and not unlike the Brits and Americans, who, you know, they have to endure early wake up calls from the children.
Well, I mean, we also open our presents on Christmas Eve. We don't wait until Christmas morning. For as long as I can remember, we used to celebrate Christmas at, like, my uncle's house. So all of my cousins, all of my aunts, uncles, everyone would bring their presents to one of my uncle's house. And the presents in front of that Christmas tree, it was like a mountain. Because you got to remember, my family, there's like 9. My dad has 9 brothers and sisters. So for all of them to come over, for all of them to have 4 or 5 kids each, yeah, you know, imagine how many presents were there. So it took forever to get your presents because they would call them out one at a time, and it just took forever. But we always waited until midnight to start opening the presents. So we at least waited until Christmas, not necessarily Christmas morning per se, but, you know, really late at night. But nowadays with my family, my wife wants to do it a little bit different because we have 2 families that we got to celebrate with. We have my family, and then we have my wife's family. So we celebrate with my mom and all of my brothers and sisters on Christmas Eve, and then we open the presents. And the next morning, we do our own little personal Christmas with our kids, and then after that, we go to my wife's parents to do, like, the, you know, the final Christmas, and then we have Christmas dinner and all that stuff. So it's way different now than when it was when I was a kid.
Oh yeah. That sounds lovely, you know. It's you know, sometimes you have to let certain moments go to have other beautiful moments. I remember these times as well, you know, being all excited, you know, actually during a time where you weren't allowed to see the tree, because my parents always would set up the tree in the night before, like the night of the 23rd.
So they really did that? They really did that?
Yes, that's actually, you know, so the tree actually could stay up longer, because we would keep the tree up until like New Year's Eve. And that was always the tradition, and we wouldn't have. I think that's not really common in Germany, you know, having the tree up for all visible and already the presents underneath, because I think that would be kind of like mental torture.
Oh wow, it's way different over here than over there.
Yeah, yeah. So they would always put the tree up the night before, and then cover up the living room with sheets and curtains, so we couldn't see the living room anymore. We would see the tree for the first time in the evening when all the candles are lit up and the presents are there after we went to church. So that was always the tradition. But nowadays, of course, me and my brothers, who are all older than our younger brother, we help decorate the tree while we watch a certain Christmas film we like. So it has been, at least they decorate the tree and I watch the movie.
That's a good way to get out of it.
Yes, yes, exactly. But that's always nowadays the tradition. It's not, but still, the next day the living room is forbidden, at least for the time the presents get underneath it. You know, it's just to keep the surprise up, you know, just the big moment when the candles are lit and everything looks festive and nice and warm. We don't have a tree up weeks before, days before, and the presents underneath. It's, I think it would be just too mean for certain people. You know, they would go to the presents and look like, oh, how big is this? And maybe, oh, this is for me, and how many do I get? So we see the piles of presents for the first time when we actually get to open them.
Oh, well, I guess if you look at it that way, it's not so much torture.
Yeah, just a little trivia for you, because that's also what the show is for.
Yes, of course. But back to family matters.
Yes, back to family members. Carl asks what time it is, and Harriet says 5:30 in the morning, and Carl's like, good night.
he tries to go back up.
And all the kids run down excited, and Wonder Christmas right there. Mother Winslow got a trumpet, and Judy got a tape player, Eddie got a boombox, and Laura got a jacket, and Laura gives Steve a wallet. And Steve gives Laura a Steve Urkel doll, and it talks. And I wanted to ask about that. Was this actually a real toy from the show?
Well, the actual doll that she got in the show, that's not the actual Steve Urkel doll. Yes, there is a Steve Urkel doll, and yes, I do have one.
Oh, wow.
It talks. It does everything. You pull the string and it goes, did I do that? And it snorts and whatever else it does. But yeah, there actually is a Steve Urkel doll. It's not the same one that you see on screen.
Does it also say, I got a snake in my boot?
This isn't Toy Story.
sorry, couldn't resist. But the Steve Urkel doll is a nice foreshadowing for that specific Halloween episode I mentioned earlier, because that features a ventriloquist dummy who gets evil and tries to murder the rest of the family.
Yeah, Steve-O. When you said that, when you were talking about it, I instantly knew which one it was.
Yeah, Steve-O.
Even though they had a lot of good Halloween episodes, Family Matters, that one was probably the most scariest one. Like the one that actually tried to be like a horror movie.
It succeeded. It succeeded quite well.
Yeah, there's a part 2 to it as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah.
It's Steve-O part 2, season 9. I'm not sure what episode, but it's now Steve-O and Carl. He has a ventriloquist dummy called Carl's Bad.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that too. Yep. So yeah, and Rachel asks Richie if he likes his toys, and he says that he really likes his Freddy Teddy. And of course, at first I was like, oh no, he didn't get his Freddy Teddy, but he wants it. And they all look dumbfounded because no one got it for him. But he does. He has a Freddy Teddy, and Steve says, it was Santa. Everyone is trying to make sense as to who got him the doll. And Steve says no one got it for him, so it had to be Santa. And then they open the letter Steve sent. It says that all he wants is to spend Christmas with the Winslows, and it happened. So that proves Santa is real. Mm-hmm. Steve thanks Santa like he's God, actually. Thank yeah, you, Santa.
He was like looking out in the middle of nowhere, and he was like, I don't know what he was doing, but it looked like he was thanking God, but he was thanking Santa.
And Rachel starts singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and they all sing along in a wonderful family scene. And the camera shows a lot of close-ups on the decorations and the family opening presents and being happy in a sweet montage, which again shows the love and passion they have for each other. It was just so nice. And this is what a 90s Christmas show needs to be about. The end. And then we have, of course, a little Christmas card picture with a toy train on the table.
Yes, a nice toy train that probably took them hours to set up. The crew, I'm going to assume they had to put it together.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a really sweet way to end this episode. You know, them all getting along, despite some of them having their reservations with Steve. But even if you're not familiar with the show, you can see who of the family members tolerate him more, you know, who are actually nice to him.
Right.
If they do these interactions well. And also I like how this show kind of seems to be different in the way that Carl and his mother actually seem to get along pretty well.
Oh yeah.
Because normally you have, you know, kind of like when the parent lives in the same house as the kid, they have a lot of bickering, and here it doesn't seem to be that way, at least not usually.
Right. So yeah, that was the full rundown of the episode. So we're going to take another quick break, share some more Christmas commercials for you guys. When we come back, we'll give you our final thoughts.
See you later!
Great gifts for each one on your list. Cool TV, VCRs and TVs, Kmart's guys. Yes, low prices, house buy. On entertainment, get games, movies, all the big names, DSS. 200 channels, no less. For this holiday, Kmart's the way to entertain.
And we're back. Hope you guys enjoyed those. So we're going to give you our final thoughts on this Christmas episode. So Lasse, what did you honestly think about this episode?
It was lovely. It was really, really heartwarming. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, seeing this show for the first time in an entire episode, not just clips from it here and there, it was a really nice introduction to all of this. Merry time, the merriest time of the year. And they had a lot of good jokes, you know, some really good laughs. They had some commentary on the certain toy craze, which we'll talk about later in a different episode. And I guess that won't be the last time, because that really was a big thing, and it still is. So they actually have everything that's important about a Christmas episode in there. They have nice family interactions, they have a moral, they have some Christmas magic in there with a potentially real Santa in this world, they have some commentary, which is actually pretty valid. They have everything. They have heart, they have laughs. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, what more can you ask for? I mean, this has to be, like, for you guys that don't know about how we do this show, I pretty much do all of the notes when it comes to sitcoms. And I did all the notes, and I was looking at this episode going, you know, this has to be one of the best Christmas episodes to actually show you what a good family is supposed to do during Christmas. We go above and beyond for our loved ones to try to find them that perfect present, as we saw with the Freddy Teddy, Carl, which Little Richie isn't even his kid, isn't even really blood related to him. He's only related because Harriet. It's his nephew, but it's not his actual blood nephew. It's Harriet's. And he waited 3 hours when he could have sent Rachel to go do it. He didn't have to do it himself. So he went above and beyond, even though he didn't need to. And same thing with everyone else in this episode. Like, Laura went out to go buy Judy's Christmas present, even though when she went to the mall, there wasn't really anything hardly left, which they probably should have done their Christmas shopping during Halloween like the rest of us do. That way there's no lines. So the second you see Halloween come up, I'm already done with Christmas. Like, yeah, I just go to stores during Christmas time just to go see the decorations. I don't really go for any Christmas shopping. But yeah, I mean, and knowing that Steve Urkel is a klutz, he broke your favorite ornament, you still had enough heart in you to say, you know what, I shouldn't have said those things to him. It's really hurtful. He can't help being the way he is. So let's just, you know, do what we can. And she invites him over, and he's like thrilled. Like, he thought he was done for, like that he wasn't going to be able to go to the house anymore, and he was sad. But then Laura let him back in, and it, you know, wonderful Christmas moments everywhere in this episode.
Yeah, totally. And she even gets him a gift as well, so like everything is forgiven, you know. It's a time, Christmas is a time of kindness, it's a time for the family, it's about spending your days with your loved ones, and even with those who you are not so fond of, but you're willing to forgive them their faults, because it's just the merriest time of a year, like I said.
It is. Wonderful time, wonderful episode. The 90s had hundreds of these wonderful Christmas episodes, and nowadays I can't really think of a good sitcom that actually does a nice, wholesome Christmas episode. Like, I just can't think of any.
Yeah, because it kind of like became the hip thing to hate Christmas, like in the way like what it stands for nowadays, how commercially corrupt it all got, and how it really seems like nothing special anymore nowadays for a lot of people, and this war on Christmas bollocks that certain people do, which is just stupid and not needed, because you really don't have to ruin everybody's time just because some idiots like think, oh, I think this is wrong, and so I should ruin it for everybody else. We live in a different time, you know. It seems like our time has become too cynical for Christmas, and I think that's why we don't get a lot of genuine Christmas show episodes or even movies anymore. But I think it didn't have, like, I think the last sitcom I can think of that had a Christmas episode was actually Big Bang Theory. I think it might have been actually the first or second season.
Yeah, I mean, they are still around. They're just not as family centered as they need to be.
Yeah, because yeah, of course, Big Bang Theory is not about family, but I remember it actually being a nice little Christmas episode, at least at the end. They had some funny and cute stuff there. But yeah, I mean, this warm family feeling, like back in the 90s, that was just a much bigger thing, I guess. And like, especially with this starting in the 80s, it was just a different time. And nowadays, we can be lucky if we get certain shows or movies who tackle Christmas well. There are still some nice Christmas things going around, but they've become rare. But I think maybe that's also a good thing, because that means that people actually have to try a lot harder with these projects, and they turn out a lot better, therefore.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we have all of these classic 90s shows, 80s shows to treasure them, because I mean, we could always look back and see, yeah, the Christmas was like this, even though it probably wasn't in our actual homes.
Yeah, wow, this analysis actually went a lot deeper when we thought, you know. It was just supposed to be an episode about this episode of Family Matters, and now we are really analyzing Christmas and talking about how it was back then, how it is now. So there are certain episodes who just send certain feelings to our hearts, and we have to let them out.
Yeah, that is what this show is all about.
And we hope you appreciate it, dear listeners. We do it all for you, but also for ourselves, because now we know each other even better, and we know ourselves better because of that. Just, you know, talking about these feelings, because, yeah, that's what Christmas is all about. And seeing where we stand, seeing how we feel about certain things, it really can help, and it can make you feel better if you enjoy talking to you know, a certain person you are telling this. But this is the case here, and I hope you enjoy it too, dear listeners, just listening to our weird stories and feelings these episodes set free.
Oh yeah. So, well, I guess that's gonna do it for our discussion on this Family Matters episode. Have yourself a Merry Winslow Christmas. And one thing I did want to know, if you ever look up this episode on IMDb, for whatever reason, they have it as Have Yourself a Very Winslow Christmas. So I don't know why they have it like that. But yeah, it's Merry Winslow Christmas. So yeah, that's going to do it for our episode here. If you guys want to send any questions, comments, or anything like that, go ahead and send us an email to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we're also on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. Lasse, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. I have a YouTube channel, The Deppert, where I make movies and I do reviews and also some riffing videos. I write German soundtrack reviews on scoregeek.wordpress.com, and I also have a podcast, Fans About Films, where I talk with fans about films and also with composers about music. And recently I had a lovely chat with Canadian filmmaker Claudia Carino. She and her latest project, When I See You. And it was a really lovely chat, and you should totally check it out in all the other episodes I have, at least the ones which are in English, and there are plenty of them. So yeah, check it out. I would really love to see you make some comments. Fans About Films is available on SoundCloud and iTunes. See you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there, and we will also see you next time for another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. You guys have a good night.
Have a good night. Goodbye.